one caravans on the mountains, one caravans from the sea, one caravans made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands on the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
got a great program. This is going to be part five of word definitions that we're getting into, the hidden words, searching for correct language that has evolved over the centuries into a devaluation of his word. And we're going to bring racial implications into its proper perspective. We're not against any race. Let it be known that we have no prejudice. We have nothing against any race of color, even white. White is a color. And we don't have anything against the black race. We don't have anything against the yellow race. We believe that there's four principal races on the earth, and three of those are primary colors. And out of the primary colors, we believe that we have a different hue by the mixture of, or the miscegenation of these races, and it is now turned into a nightmare. We have created, just like the Bible says, we've created confusion. We brought confusion by the creation of other races, or miscegenated races, not other races, but by mixing the races together with different bloods. And, of course, Acts 17 implies, seems to imply, because people don't understand the New Testament. They don't know how to interpret it or to rightly divide it, and that's what the problem is. Many people go through the Bible, never recognizing that Yahweh's against some of these things, especially here in the last 100 years. We've changed our natural instincts. The Bible said even having them seared with a hot iron, we no longer are trying to face the reality of what Yahweh set up as a tradition and a way that he knew that everybody knew that there was boundaries set for the races. We have the black race in the African plains. We had the mongoloid races in the Far East. And we had the white race, the Caucasian race, in Europe, Asia, or the Americas, and all around through the regions that he scattered them. This is basically the Caucasian. And I've said this many times before, if you went in to write your resume, that you would have to have, or you would need to put down what race you are. Well, if you are a mixture of all three, it's sort of hard for you to put that down and define it. How do you define race? Well, that's one of the problems that we're in tonight. We're trying to examine that, how do you define what is race? To give the definition of the word race, race is commonly thought as being three divisions of mankind, the Caucasian, the Mongoloid, as I said, and the Negroid races. And race, being in its original color, the Bible says that it was good. And if it was good, Yahweh approved of it. Now, the Bible said he brought forth kind after kind. And it's impossible for you, being a purebred race of either color, red, black, or yellow, for you to bring back something that's not in your blood. Now, if you've had something in your blood sewed into your blood, you're going to bring something other than what you intended to bring, because man reaps what he sows. So if you go out and mix with another race, you're going to have a lesser, if you will. You're going to have a combination of those bloods. And you can see it very well in the offspring. And this, according to the 18th chapter of the book of Leviticus, it says it brings confusion for a woman not to lay, or a man not to lay, with the beast of the field. Well, we know that it's not possible for a man to get a cow pregnant. Or it's not possible for a woman to get pregnant from a dog. And believe it or not, some of that goes on. Bestiality is what it's called. It's spoken of in the Bible, and it's purely condemned. Also, with the exploitation of the last days, when this rampant blood mixing is now on the rise, we feel that we are in danger of losing or displeasing Yahweh, because it's not his will for us to mix and mingle and to confuse the children of these offspring by mixing their blood into our own veins. And you can remember this now, that blood will not mix with an animal. Just like it's unheard of for the animals to go outside their own races and seek sexual exploitation. It's just not in their genes. It's not wired into their makeup. In the same way, with an exception, when man is involved, there's nothing off limits. That his mind, and this is what brought the flood in the Tarim Basin, where it was deposited great amounts of water, right where this origin or race of Adam, this is when things begin to go south. We know that the other two races long predate Adam. If Adam is a Caucasian or a white person, or he can blush, and we believe he could, and so could his offspring, so then he's different. He's actually made a little bit different, according to the Bible, And this is some of the great mysteries that are raging today in people's minds, that the black race, which I believe was a yellow race, and I believe the yellow race outdates the black race. We're told that these three different races that all came from a different planet system in the heavens. Well, who seeded these? The Bible says anything before it growed was growed somewhere else. That's a great mystery. Before it ever rained upon the earth, the origin of the plains, just like the origin of the people that are produced now, that they actually were developed somewhere else and supplanted here to start the origin and the beginning of something that the creators, the Bible says when heaven was created, the sons of Yahweh shouted for joy. And especially when man was introduced, he's a little lower than the angels. And when I tell you he's just a little bit lower, I really mean that. Because exactly what he was made for was to be prosperous and to multiply. Now we know that there was a development process prior to Genesis 1 and 1. And I've had some lengthy debates with people that don't believe that there was people living here prior to Genesis 1 and 1. Because they just can't give up the tradition of their beliefs. Now we know, this is an argument for anyone that would like to jump in here, that light was prevalent in the beginning, and yet the Bible says at the Genesis 1 and 1 that darkness was upon the face of the deep. Well, Yahweh could not create something out of darkness. Everything had to be developed in light. And darkness would not comprehend it not. And yet, when we pick up the narrative of the journey of earth and its existence, we find the earth in fallen repair, and it's probably at its lowest point, and something brought darkness. Now, what was that? There was no darkness in Yahweh. He was not responsible for it. What brought the fall? Well, from heaven came the sons of men. And they started the development process. And we're told in a larger overall view, if you will, that these angels were wanting to develop man. And we're talking about Genesis 1:26, man. And he was made just a little lower. Now remember that he was made to do the burden bearing. That's what we're told. And these angels took full advantage of having them to run their errands because they were a little lower than the angels. So therefore, they pull rank or they use their knowledge. And man was actually being used, even Adam himself. When it talks about Yahweh and his helpers, the angels, when they said, let us make man in our own image. So this was a step up from the Genesis 1:26 man, because in that, the beast of the field and the man, well, there's something very interesting here in the book of Jeremiah. If you turn over to the book of Jeremiah, let me turn over there and read that, and I'll show you an example of what we're talking about. It's in the 37th verse. As we go there, we're going to see exactly what is different. And the 31 verse 27. Behold, the days are coming, saith Yahweh, that I will sow the house of Israel. Now, at this time, in the time of Jeremiah, we're having Israel, a people chosen, selected, and they are called the children of Yahweh. Nowhere else is these other peoples of the earth, are they called children of Yahweh. Now, how could they be? Well, it's a long, lengthy story as we search for the scarlet thread. I mean, the blood of the Holy One was deposited into man, into a chosen man. In this case, it was the chosen seed of Isaac. He himself was a product of Genesis 21, where he himself was a product of Yahweh's doing. It was Yahweh that overshadowed the Sarah and caused her, something happened here. It's a transfix. I mean, it brought forth life. And Isaac was the son of Yahweh, according to the Bible. Just like Adam was the son of Yahweh, and something happened there. Because when he helped him, raised him up a helpmeet out of his own body, then Satan stepped in and intervened and impregnated the offspring of Adam's body. This is a direct violation of the codes of ethics that angels are supposed to play. And I know I'm familiar, well familiar, and I've had this used against me many, many times. Oh, Pastor Buddy, you know the angels couldn't get somebody pregnant, and the devil's an angel. And the Bible says that angels can't impregnate nobody. That's where it says that at. Well, it's there. It says angels don't marry. Angels don't marry. I said, you sure that were they commanded not to marry, which is the right word expression here to express yourself? They were given the command not to. That don't mean that they didn't. They came down and took wives of whom they chose. The Nephilim are the offspring, or for those who from heaven came. They fell, and Jude talks about it. And it's undeniable that there are different races in the earth. We have the black race. Nothing wrong with that race. Yahweh said it was good. We have the yellow race. Nothing wrong with that race. We have the white race. Certainly nothing wrong with that one. They're all three on equal footing, and each one, Yahweh approved of that. And it was good. The problem was that when the fourth introduction, when Satan impregnated Eve, that brought a bastard. That brought a manzer. That brought someone that Yahweh didn't approve of. He didn't approve of that. He approved of the black race. He approved of the yellow race. And he approved of the white race. He did not approve of the mixture of Eve with Satan. It produced something that was more intelligent than the beast of the field. A lot more intelligent. Don't say that he was more intelligent than Adam or his offspring, because the Bible says Adam was not deceived. But the woman, being a weaker product or unoriginal, she was made from Adam's body. And so Satan caused Adam, separated from Eve, and impregnated her. And when she ate from the tree, she ate from the tree in the midst of the garden of good and evil. That was Satan. Yahweh himself was the tree of life. Didn't have any of the characteristics of doing evil or good until Satan invoked that wild card into the race. Then Yahweh had to choose which one he was going to select and choose which one he's going to reject. You say, oh no, all Christians or all people in the earth can be saved. Well, that's not true. He didn't save Cain. He rejected his offering. He wouldn't accept it. Nowhere in the Bible can you read that Cain or any of his offspring, and they are a live, living offspring. Nowhere can anyone from any church world or any preacher prove to me that Cain ever had his sins remitted or forgiven, for that matter, because you can't forgive something that's evil, although it can be good. Now, here's how much good it'll do. Just enough to deceive the very elect. And so it's got our sympathy in Christianity. We'll save Cain's seed, although nobody ever defines it. And that's why I'm asking, well, how do you define race? Well, how did you define mixed race? Satan is a product of angelic blood and the blood of Adam. Now, these were opposite to each other, good and evil. Here we took upon ourselves, at this time, we were life then. But when we surrendered our life then, we fell, along with Satan and his angels. Adam and his people fell into disrepair, the genetics being weakened, and Yahweh then had to start choosing which ones he would accept, which ones he would keep, which ones he would brand unclean, which one will be acceptable. And he rejected Cain after Cain exposed his deeds. The Bible said his deeds were evil and his brother's deeds were good. He had to find or wait until the devil expressed himself in the only way that he could, as a murderer, as a liar, and trying to steal the birthright. That's why Satan desperately tried to get Cain under the blessing hands of Yahweh or Yahweh's prophets. When a prophet gave his word, it was the word of Yahweh. He represented Yahweh just like a notary republic. I mean, it's just a common piece of paper until two parties sign on, and then the notary puts his stamp on there, and when that stamp goes on, it makes it an official covenant or a document. And that's the power of a notary. Tremendous power, because whoever they stamp with an agreement, in this case, it was Satan and Yahweh had to stamp an agreement or to sign before a notary, that was Yahweh's law, and guess who lost? Yahweh lost the war because Satan became the trump card, or if you will, he became the ace in the hole when he played the law, the trump card. That's why he wanted Moses' body, which represents the law, to that he could use that body as an accuser of the brethren and say, now it's based on good and evil. See, the misconception of what the law brought was the confusion that it's based on whether you do any good or evil, or whether you do good and evil. Yahweh does not save you on the basis of you being worthy to save. You ain't worthy. You never will be. So that didn't even factor in. He didn't base you on how bad you were. I mean, most people would have sent David straight to hell. He killed thousands of people. He done some ungodly deeds. But the Bible says in David's own handwriting, blessed is whom to the man will not, that Yahweh will not impugn sin. So Satan was not in that category. He was a sinner and a liar and a murderer from the very beginning. Yahweh's not going to let his skin in there, and he's not going to let his blood, the Satan's blood, which is now fused with all kinds of people. He's encouraged the black to marry the white, and the white to marry the black, the yellow to marry the black, and vice versa, and the white. And so now we got a Duke's mixture of bloods fused together for Satan to hide his genetics in. But Yahweh knew that Eve was pregnant, Adam didn't know. He knew nothing about it. He was not deceived. Whether you believe he was deceived or not, he was not deceived. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Now, he did give up his kingly priesthood. He refused to go back into heaven, which he could have pulled that optional card out. But since that she had bone of his bone, he would have left a part down here. That's why Satan fused into the blood of Eve, or the chromosome. Anyway, he supplied the blood, so that got the unholy blood entangled or entwined into the holy seed. Now we go back again to Genesis 3, chapter 14, and we find that Satan had an offspring there. Yahweh fingered him right there. He picked him out of the lineup, in the genetic lineup. He said, you have a seed here involved in this melee, and you've sinned. And for that reason, you're going to be under the beast of the field and the cattle. On your belly you shall go. Now, what does that mean? It's a reptilian factor with the penalty of death. Upon your belly you shall go. And thus shall be your meat all your life. What does that mean? That means that death will never quit swallowing up Satan and his seed. That death and hell will follow him even to the grave. And since he got the first prototype, although that their sons now being in the earth through Adam, person was through Yahweh, Abel, he was killed, and so Yahweh used Adam 130 years later in the fifth chapter of Genesis. He started having sons, and Yahweh started guarding them jealously, so that they would not start mingling, mixing, and play in the same trap. Well, 10 generations down the road, it got so bad and out of hand that Yahweh had a call an end to it and said, the end of all flesh is in sight. Now remember, it was the flesh of Eve, the mother of all living. Not all seeds and not all flesh on earth is living. Just the ones that have the covenant. Esau couldn't have lived. But he did survive the flood. Cain could not live, but he survived the flood. There's a time coming where we're going to end up tonight after we lay some groundwork in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. I'd like to get over there tonight, but I've got a few scriptures here to read you as we promised you we would pick up in the 13th chapter of the book of Nehemiah. But first of all, I want to finish the scripture that before I got on this narrative here. Let me finish it. That's verse 27 of chapter 31, Jeremiah. Behold, the days come, and are coming, saith Yahweh, that I will sow. Now that word sow is intermingled, mixed together. If you tell me that Yahweh's not behind these race-mixing schemes, he is. He's causing it to happen because we asked for it. Just like we wanted meat. When we got into the desert, Yahweh was feeding them angels' food. And they mixed the garlic, they missed the garlic, the cucumbers, and the fish, and who knows what else they were eating. Probably a lot of that unclean. I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Now that's two houses. Both of them are being sowed with the seed of man. Now what's that? And the seed of the beast. Now you know I've done explain to you that the seed of the beast won't take. You can't be talking about a four-legged beast. That's not what he's talking about. Here we have the beast of the field and man created in Genesis 1:26, different from the Adam of in Genesis chapter 2, when he was created after the seventh day. I don't care what you say and how much argument you want to put up, you can't get around that Adam was created after he come out into the physical world after, but he came out with a body that's going to live forever. That was high above and most superior than the bodies that were around him that he had to associate with. He named them all. He done all, and they were to be a blessing to all these other races, but not to mix with them, keep them pure and unspotted, and to rule over them and to be a blessing to them. They needed this leadership. Satan caused Eve to fall, and so therefore Adam surrendered his right to do that. Now, he had two choices. He could, number one, pack up his suitcase and leave without Eve and leave her down here to grow babies and her offspring. Or Adam could choose to stay with her as a type of the bride or of Christ, who would never leave his wife. And so what did he do? Being the honorable man that he was, although he's fixing to get into some sticky situations, karma, reap what you sow, sin lays at your door, Cain, same thing. And so we begin to have an existence from an eternal being down to a temporary being, kept shut up under the law as something to guide us because we were so disobedient, always wanting to sin, that evil nature of the serpent that we took the likeness of him on because Satan tainted the womb of Eve. And everything that would come from her would have a taint of sin. And it had to be rectified. It had to be dealt with. And the way is ingenious how Yahweh finally did it. He did it by the offering of himself. That to make it short. Listen to this. Again. I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and the seed of beast. Well, we're having this mixture today. We're having three different blood fusions along with the fourth. Now we enter the fourth prey, and that is the seed of the serpent that was mingled with the woman, Eve. Now we have a inferior, even to the beast of the field, and man. Satan is dumb. I mean, he's cast out. He's down to the ground. He's on his belly. He's going to go back to the dust. Well, that includes Adam's flesh, because it took the likeness of sinful sin upon its nature by when we opened our eyes to do good and evil, and now we're constantly battling trying to do good when evil's always present. So we've got this dilemma, and here it is with Yahweh struggling. He's trying to keep, if you will, he's trying to keep the flesh under control. He said, I'm going to try this and see if man can survive this. And he let him live for upwards toward 1,000 years before he would cut him off. And it seemed like the longer he lived, the worse he got. And as it is this day, the longer we live, the worse we get. Now, let's go back to Numbers chapter 25 for just a moment. And we're going to look at this. And so Israel joined, that means begin to fellowship and become part of Baal of the Peor. Baal. These are the Canaanites. There was a sexual cult. They promised you good babies and things, and that's what they were doing. And the anger of Yahweh was aroused against Israel. Yahweh does not approve of what's going on today, whether you believe it or not. Whether you'll speak out against it or not, Yahweh does not approve. He's soon coming to bring about a judgment, a reckoning. We're going to have to pay for these sins. And the Bible said, be sure your sins find you up. That's what he's talking about. And then Yahweh said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before Yahweh out in the sun, that the fierce anger of Yahweh may turn away from Israel. Oh, now that's severe punishment. Hang them. And so Moses said to the judges of Israel, every one of you kill the man who is among you in your tribes who were joined to Baal of Peor. And indeed, I'm going to show you it was a cult, a sexual cult. Baal had, the priests of Baal had persuaded the Israelites that we were just like us. They were like us. And they could give us better children that would behave better and be more mannerly, more respectful. You see, Israel is a hard-headed, stiff-necked, uncircumcised people. And here they are showing their colors. Verse 6, and indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses. You see what they're doing? These were fertility cults, worshiping, having these soothsayers. Oh, come over here and we'll give you a proper child. If you couldn't get, because Yahweh had closed some of the wombs up and made it difficult for the women in Israel to produce, and they were crossing the fence or crossing the racial border or the bloodline to prove it was a sexual cult mixing with other races. He brought a brethren, an Israelite now, and with him they brought a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting place. Now, they had become guilty through Moses condemning them, that they'd done this terrible thing. Right under Moses' watch, ladies and gentlemen. It'll happen under yours as if you try to stay in the law of Moses and try to prove it. It's an acceptable way out. Now, notice what the law demanded. It's a hard saying that they that disobeyed Moses died without mercy. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel unto the tent. Now the man runs. Here is Phinehas. He grabbed up a javelin, and he was intended to kill him. And so he took after him, and the man ran out of the meeting place and into his own tent. He made it to his own tent where he felt secure. That's where he had slept with this woman, and that's where he had impregnated her, and that's where he had, in front of all of Israel, he had shamed the Israelites by buying into the Baal Peor, the sex, the cult, crossing of sea. And he ran into the tent after him and thrust both of them. Got them both. Now why would he do this? Through the man of Israel and through the woman, through her body, so that the plague was stopped among the children of Israel. He ran it right through her belly. He'd already pinned the Israelite man with a javelin, that's a sharp stick, a pole, and he killed this Israelite brother of his, and he killed the woman who was pregnant with the Israelite's child, Baal Peor, encouraged sex fertility cult. And those who died in the plague, as it had broke out in the camp, were 24,000. That is a proper number. That's judgment twice. Government. Out of order. And then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. He's going to kill them all. Kill 24,000 over this one. Just wasn't that one act. It was one that was exposed. It's the one that Phinehas took under his own hand. He wasn't told to kill this Israelite brother and this Midianite woman he'd married and the child that she was carrying. There's no record nowhere. But it proved that it was a very smart thing to do. And so therefore, we have these were, they had died, the Israelites and the mixed races. This is the result, ladies and gentlemen. If you see this, it's going to come to no end of no good. It's not going to work. We should stay it among us now, but I think it's too far gone. We have no power. We're now captive ourselves. We're in a strange land with a strange government. And we hear all these preachers, they're harping about the government, the price of gold, and the price of, that's all they worry about. They don't know what the real issue is. One of these days, silver and gold is going to be so abundant you can pick them up by the tub full. But that's not going to be what you'll be wanting to do then. You'll be running for the rocks and the mountains. That's what he said. So he turned back my wrath, and therefore I say, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace. Oh, God. You know what that meant? That his house would never be plagued with race mixing again. He would not be joined to Baal-Peor. He wouldn't be entering into these cult fraternities. His children weren't. They would stay true and loyal. That's what he meant by giving him peace. He wouldn't have to worry about it. Do you have to worry about it today? Yes, you do. You let your young daughter run to the mall and you see what happens. You let your young son run to the mall. They're going to do just like they were doing in Ezra chapter 10 and 11 when they themselves were participating in these lewd acts of race mixing. And it shall be to him and to his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. He killed one, and Yahweh killed 24,000. But that one killing by Ezra's son Phinehas stayed the plague. Yahweh quit killing after he got to 24,000. He stopped right on the 24,000. And I guarantee you, every one of them that had done this were race mixers. They had went out and married across their bloodline. They went over into another land, and they got someone and come over, and they married someone that Yahweh did not approve of, and it got so far along, it become so common. We got acquainted with it. You sleep with a rattlesnake long enough, and you'll get comfortable. As long as you're keeping him charmed and entertained, but when you quit that, he'll bite you. And the last bite will get you. Notice this. Now, the name of the Israelite who was killed with the Midianite woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a leader of a father's house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianite woman who was killed was Hukobia, the daughter of Zur. He was head of the people of a father's house in Midian. Wasn't supposed to be. Both of them are very influential men. Must have been a prominent, high, well thought of family in Israel for him to go there and get away with it. It was approved. Except everybody but Phinehas and Yahweh. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we are up to our necks in trouble. We are never going to repent of this. I know that. so while you're preaching to Pastor Buddy, so that we'll have a witness. Yahweh wants you to stand against these things that are going on to let the people know. It's sort of a punishment. It is something to be condemned. Now, I'm not going to have the time to get into the 13th chapter of Matthew. I've taught on it before, but let me hurry it up. I want to just make some points for you. He spoke many things to them in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew in parables. And one that really hit home was, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now, I wonder who that sower was. Remember that we read in Jeremiah 31, verse 27, that he would sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the house of man, M-A-N, and the house of the beast. Let's see. Now, here's two different blood types being sown into one blood type. Judah and Israel had the same blood type from their daddy, Judah. They were miscegenating. They were doing like they were in Numbers 25. Even when Moses would lead them, it increased their sins, only increased after that Moses departed. Joshua took over, and it drove him crazy. He could not control the rampant disobedience of race mixing. They just can't see no wrong with it. And here the Bible says, and he spoke, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony ground, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of the earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched with the great heat, because they had no root in themselves to wither away. These are the lesser beings that have made a race mix out of their place in their blood, and Yahweh shut them off. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns springing up, that's those who go over to the other races, and they mix and mingle. They can't stay away from it, and they get caught up, and they get caught in a thorn. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And now, the apostles are asking him to quit speaking in parables. Just tell them. And he answered and said unto, because it is given to you know the mystery, but to them it's not given. Whosoever has, to him more will be given, and to him that hath abundance. But whosoever doth not, even that which he thinks to have will be taken away from him. And this is why the more you preach on it, the more confused people get. Because they don't have any ears or any ears to hear. Now I'm going to tell you the parable. That hearing that you may hear and not understand, for you that it's not given to you. And seeing that you may see and not see and perceive, for the heart of this people is waxed dull. See, they're going to do what they're going to do anyway. And the church is leading the way as an example. They are the main stumbling block in the house of Yahweh's people. They're proving this. They're sanctifying it. And it's one of the greatest sins that's ever been created. And I'm going to tell you why. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. And then he goes on to say, again, in verse 24. Let me skip down here because I've only got a few minutes. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field. Now, this good seed was Adam. And then Abel, and then the sons of Adam's offspring in the fifth chapter. This is the sequence. But while men slept, Adam was off taking a nap somewhere when his wife played hooky. The enemy came and sowed. Now that word sowed is the same word that is used in the 31st chapter of the book of Jeremiah, which it means to intermingle seed, to sow seed together of two different kinds. And while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly what we're going on. Today, we have this tare sowing at such an unprecedented rate of increase that it's plumb out of hand. I don't believe, unless there's a great revival that I don't foresee in the future. Because the Bible says, as the closer we get down to the end of the world, the worse man will get. I only see this increasing to the point that Yahweh will once again have to step in, as he did in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were marrying, race marrying. They were crossing races and displeasing Yahweh. I know it's not a popular a subject, even in the churches that condone these things. I don't. Maybe you do. I don't. Because I read the Bible with an ear to hear and an eye to see. I hope that you can wake up before it's too late for you, because fornication is the only unpardonable sin. I don't know if you know that or not. If you want to know what it is race mixing or fornication, which Esau, let's go back to him for just a moment and I'll close it out. Esau was a fornicator. How did he become a fornicator? Simply because he went with his seed and he sowed his seed into the Canaanite seed. And this mixture produced Esau Edom. This is one of the deadliest combination of seeds upon the earth. John saw it as a serpent. You know, a deadly serpent, like a rattlesnake or adder or a cobra. Cobra is fascinating and it's linked to royalty. That's what John, I guess, was probably implying and referring to. That they had seeded themselves, infused themselves into the royal blood of the Holy Seed. When all the time they are seen and depicted in the spirit world as serpents. They shall bite you for that enchantment. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Flee from the very appearance of evil, especially when it comes to fornication. Esau went out and married into the Canaanite bloodline. He produced sons and daughters abundantly. He became a builder of a city, Canaan. And these beautiful daughters and offspring enticed Esau, who was hated from the very beginning. He didn't have a chance anyway, because he's waiting to prove himself. He don't have ears to hear. He don't have eyes to see, although he was told. His mother and daddy told him, do not, whatever you do, go out and pick you a wife or wives from the Canaanites. And he went and done it anyway, and it became a great grievous concern to his mother and daddy, which would have been Isaac and Rebekah. Now then, Yahweh told her plainly when she inquired why that she was struggling, these two seeds were struggling in the womb. One was good and one was bad. It was a carryover from the Garden of Eden. One seed was good and one was bad. It's been a continuous seed war all the way from the beginning of the Garden of Eden. It's still a seed war tonight. Take heed how you sow your seed. Take heed what you gather and bring to create a family around you. Some people have been unvery wise. They're caught up in an acceptable society. Now it's not as bad as it used to be. Now it's an acceptable thing. But just like it was frowned on and condemned in the days of Athenius, just like it was condemned and frowned on in the days of Ezra, and just like it was in the days of Nehemiah, and just like it was in the days of Christ when he was elaborating with the 13th chapter, he gave four parables right here that illustrate the things that you shouldn't do. And all the above has been done by those who have no eyes and no ears. I don't care what you say. I love that person. I don't care what you say. That's my daughter. That's my granddaughter. That's my son. That's, you know, God wouldn't send them to hell. So ladies and gentlemen, we need to step back and get a new perspective, step out into the truth, and to know the truth, and let the truth to make us free. Now, I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark, Brother Bud, Brother Ed, down in the great state of Mississippi, and by Brother Paul, up in the great state of Michigan. Brother Paul's number, if you'd like to have it. He's a poor man trying to make a living. The other brothers work for their living and sponsor me. 1-800-253-2748. Give Brother Paul a call. Order something off of him to help him. StemTech, it's a good product. It's more and more, proven more and more valuable every day. For those who would like to take it, call Paul at 1-800-253-2748. In doing so, you'll help me, Pastor Buddy, because Paul ties into a ministry like a lot of people do. We just mentioned his name because he's in a little business. We do other, if you request, if you're in some kind of a business, and you support Pastor Buddy and you're a regular tither, well, we'd be glad to help you and to sponsor and give your phone number out to help us, because the more that you can make, the more that you'll send us and the more that we'll be supported on the radio. So remember, Brother Mark down there in the great state of Mississippi, and his wonderful wife, Audrey, and all their family, Clay and the gang down there. And remember, Brother Bud, not his real name, but that's the name I like to call him because I like that name. And not enough buddies in this world, praise Yahweh. So we got Brother Bud there and Brother Ed. They're helping to hold our hands up and helping us pay the radio bill and defray some of the costs, and I really appreciate it. You can call me tonight. That's Pastor Buddy at Post Office Box 562 in Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. Now, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568 in Sweetwater, Tennessee, the zip 37874. We'd be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live around the world on WRV. Just give me a call, and Yahweh will bless you for calling. I know it'll help me. If you'll just call me and tell me that we're coming to you, praise Yahweh, out of the WWRD, support our local radio station, too, and help us to help those who are helping us. And that way you'll help Brother Dave. And the thing that we're trying to do is for Yahweh to bless us and to give us hope in this world, that we could preach something that would help somebody to stand up and take a liking to Yahweh and his law. I love you because you love the law and you love Yahweh's commands. I love you because that you keep his promises and his faith and his covenant. I love you for that. I read most of your letters. I just come in off the altar here in Sweetwater, Tennessee. We offered up a whole box of offerings tonight. I can't go into the time to tell you why I did it tonight. But we did. We offered up a whole box of offerings that I had sorted out. These were offerings that were given in respect to the property here and the support to buy the property. I haven't forgot you. I sent them up to Yahweh tonight, saved them for this particular night for the reason that I did it, and we set them up on your behalf in your name. If you've ever sent me in the last 3 months, if you've ever sent me an offering, and you designated for the help and the purchase of the property or the expenses that we've endured, well, I really appreciate that. And tonight, they were offered up on the altar where that they could become part of Yahweh's memory. He'll never forget them, and neither will I. And I really appreciate you. My heart goes out to you. Some of you are still waiting on your calendars. Right now, we are at a standstill. We basically have run out of calendars. We've been overwhelmed with people asking for the calendars, and we've got them on order. We'll have another shipment in. Presently, hopefully, we'll get them in here for the last of the week, and then we will start. Now, I've got a bunch of calendars in the mail. For you that have been on my mailing list for a while, you're going to be getting the third shipment that I've sent out. Quite a few this morning I mailed out because I had time over the holidays to get these ready, and we sent out quite a few this morning in the mail. So if you're one of those that happens to be on our list, you will be getting your calendar. If not, wait patiently. I'll get it to you just as soon as we can. And in the meantime, you can go, if you need to see a calendar, go to our website. Brother Bob has did a marvelous job on posting our calendar, our Hebrew calendar. We've got it posted up for you. And it's there now on our website. That's oneyahweh.com. We'll see you tomorrow night on the late call. Around the world on WWRV. Yahweh bless you. See you about 11 o'clock tomorrow night, Eastern Standard Time. We'll start a brand new series for you. We'll see you tomorrow night. Yahweh bless you.